Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible when you swear to tell the truth. Name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Everyone, welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that's paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fort Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret from the Holy Scripture.
Good morning, brother. I almost let you go all the way there without interrupting.
Almost. Well, see, I've got the control of the microphone. I can turn you on and off.
I know you do, but I try not to think about that.
Good morning, everybody. If you've got a question or comment that you'd like to send our way today, there's a way that you can do that. If you have a telephone, you'd like to give us a call, you can call us up live at 789-0318, 789-0318. You can also send your emails to us, if you'd like to, at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com. And you can also, as we are learning to do, I think this is the third week, maybe, that we've been doing Facebook Live.
Right.
Yeah, you can go to the new God's Point of View Facebook page,
yes, sir,
and find us live there. And we've already had people commenting this
morning. We have indeed. Linda Weddington, Jessica Yates, Nikki Boland's watching, Andrew Jones is watching.
You know her, don't you?
Oh, I know that girl. I was thinking about Nikki. It says Nikki's watching that David's up there in Bean Blossom.
Yeah, up in Indiana.
Yeah, having a big old time, no doubt about it.
You know, he's a blessed man to have a young lady that would that would allow him to run around doing.
Yeah,
that kind
you
of
know
stuff.
It. You know it. You know why? I didn't go with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're a blessed man now. You know, you got responsibilities.
But I would love to be there. She said they'd had a lot of rain up there, and some of the shows had not been. Of course, I want to go when there's a big auditorium and it's all air conditioned.
Oh,
and plenty of coffee.
I see. Yeah, plenty of coffee. Yeah. And then you have to have like a big, suite.
Sure.
To stay in.
I knew what you were going to say, which is why I could agree with you before you even said it.
My dad always told me, why wish for a loaf of bread when you can have a grocery store?
Your dad was right, brother. He was right. Did you give the numbers and all those types of things?
I did.
All right. Good deal. What about my cell phone number? Did you give that?
No, I did not do that. I think I kind of find that's your private territory, your domain.
Not anymore.
Well, if you want to give it out, you give it out.
367-0137 out of the area would be, of course, 606-367-0137. And you feel free to give me a call if you'd like later today. You can do it now. A lot of folks would have called me after the show is off the air, but if you want to call now, we'll be happy to hear from you. We're working out a few little bugs now. For instance, I'm able now that I know how to do it. And I want to thank Macy for helping me with that. And Timotheus, you must have been holding back on me because you knew more than you was letting on.
I don't know.
You've been doing some homework too. I know you had. But we worked on a little bit last night, so we're able now to see the folks who are coming on and good to see everybody there. There's DD's on there and Phyllis Tackett's watching from out Sitka, Kentucky. Anyway, we're glad to be here and glad to be on. And 367-0137. You can text me. You can got this cellular device right here in my hand. And let's see. No, that's a phone call. That's somebody else texting somebody else.
You've got too many devices. We're going to be all sidetracked with what we're doing.
Yeah, you know, I hope not. But we stay sidetracked.
We do.
You know, Timotheus, just wanted to throw this out. Don't have a call right now at the present time. And if we get a call, of course, we'll take it. But there's been a revelation. I want you to know that a group of psychologists.
Okay.
Asked 551. I don't know.
551?
Yeah, I don't know about that significance there, but 551. Maybe they just got tired and went home.
Maybe.
American Christians, what they think God looks like. And,
really?
Oh, yeah. And they came up with a composite of what they thought the face of God was like. Hmm. And, God was white, they said, young, and clean cut. That's what they said. Of course, the Bible teaches us that no one on this side of heaven can know exactly what God looks like. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking of what John wrote in 1 John 3. He said that it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's 1 John 3. Over in the Corinthian letter, Paul talks about seeing through a glass darkly. If now in this world we're seeing through a glass darkly, then think how much darker it must be when we think about seeing God. The Bible says you cannot see God and live.
Mm.
And so, you know, Moses asked him about it.
Yeah.
And so, but this is just 551 American Christians
claim to be Christians
said this is what they thought. In fact, God looks like
white, clean cut.
I don't think articulate was in there, but anyway, I would say that God is articulate.
I would think
so. Yeah, that's just me now. White, young, and clean cut. And in Psalm 143, David writes, "For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble." And he goes on to say, "I am your servant." We're to be servants of God, regardless of what he looks like. C.S. Lewis, famous for the Chronicles, you know, of Narnia and all the other things that he did, he said this: the ancient man approached God as the accused person approaches his judge. Think about that.
Mm.
For the modern man, the roles are reversed.
Oh, yeah.
He is the judge. God is in the dock, meaning on trial.
Mm-hmm.
He is quite a kindly judge. If God should have a reasonable defense for being the God who permits war, poverty, disease, he is ready to listen to it. The trial may even end in God's acquittal. But the important thing, and this is so true, the important thing is that man is on the bench and God is on the dock.
Hmm.
That's an old English reference to being on the stand. You know, we put God on the in the dock or the accused.
Yeah.
Why do you let this happen? Why does that happen? If there's a God, why is there poverty? On and on and on it goes.
You know, I know there's a, you know, God doesn't mind us asking questions.
He does not.
I understand that. But where do we get off thinking we have the right to blame God or to judge him? You know, there's a difference in asking questions and there's a difference in being mad and judging him for what he does or what he doesn't do.
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Where do we get the right to do that?
Well,
we're so self-righteous.
We have evolved.
Yeah, we've evolved all right.
I shared with the church last night a quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Now, you have to say that really fast.
Yeah. I'm glad you're saying it.
Yeah, could you spell that for me,
bro? No.
And so he said, we've forgotten God.
Yep. And who God is.
And who God is.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. We're commanded to serve God. So, in other words, he's our master.
Mm-hmm.
We are his servants. And so we don't know what it would be like to be in a nation truly blessed by God. We don't.
No.
We don't realize all that he could and would do for a people that were committed to him.
Yep.
He does so much anyway. And sometimes, and I think I said that to you recently, just a minute ago when I came in, you asked me how it was, or I was blessed or something, and I said, I don't deserve it. And that's a response that a lot of us give kind of in a flippant way, but I really mean I do too.
Yeah. I mean, we take for granted the roof over our head. And you made a reference last evening at church about the lady with the shoe.
Yeah.
You know,
it
brings to mind people walking around in other countries that don't have shoes.
Absolutely.
Or they don't have a sandwich waiting for them when they get home.
There was a song some time ago, Timotheus, a country song, I believe, about a fellow that got on a train or on a bus or something and feeling poorly about his condition until he saw someone sitting there that couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the name of that song? You're a highly trained broadcast professional.
Not at the moment, but if it comes to me, I'll throw it in there.
You will. That's the way you roll.
My processor's about full.
789-0318.
Or godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Or 367-0137. There's Miss Virginia just joined us.
On
Facebook Live. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And let's see. All right. No, that's the same. That's a different. Well, folks, the first transgender man recently gave birth to a baby in the UK.
Seriously?
Seriously.
I didn't know that was possible.
Well, a transgender, so in the UK.
Okay.
British law.
I was confused about it. A transgendered man gave birth.
Well,
so
he
was
a man, but he's transgendered and he's now a woman, and apparently.
Okay. I was, it's a little confusing sometimes.
It's a lot confusing.
Yeah.
So the headline reads, transgender man's baby could be the first person without legal mother. So here's the story. British law states that those who give birth to children can only be noted as mothers on official documents. The parent has complained, that'd be the transgender man who had the baby over in the UK, the parent has complained of discrimination. As a result, this baby could be the first person born in England and Wales not to have a legal mother.
Now, are you sure it's not a woman that transgendered into a man, but she had a baby or something?
I think the way this is reading is that he was a man, and he's now a transgender. He's a woman.
Okay.
And somehow, some way, they fixed it to where he could be with child, and now he's delivered that child. Hmm. How crazy have we become?
And we've got a phone call
Let's
coming
get
in.
It. Let's
the
get
old-fashioned
it.
Way. Good morning, and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please. And there's a dial tone.
Yeah. The old-fashioned dial tone, we might add.
The old-fashioned dial tone.
Is that another call coming in there? That's the red light.
No, not at the moment.
Has to be a green light. All righty then. If you want to call back, please feel free to do so. But that's the report on the transgender business.
It's very confusing.
It is very confusing.
But did you ever think 20 or 30 years ago that you'd ever be talking about that on the radio?
I didn't think about it 5 years ago when we started this program. 5 years ago. Well, maybe 5 years ago I would have.
Now let's go back to the phone lines and try again. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
I've got a question for Gary about tithing. Will a man rob God and go to heaven?
Well, I'm not going to let a thief in my home. Would you let a thief in your home?
What now?
I say I'm not going to let a thief, knowingly, if I know he's a thief, I'm not going to invite him in and have him sit down at my table and eat my food and sit my lazy boy and watch my TV programs, and then he's going to try to use my toothbrush. I'm not going to allow any of that.
I understand that. That's what I was trying to get a point through.
Think God would either. I just really don't.
That's all I want to know. I thank you.
Well, bless your little heart. Call back. Now, he's referencing Malachi chapter 3, and Malachi chapter 3 just asked the question point blank, will a man rob God?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, how have we robbed you? That's Malachi 3.
Yeah, what could we take from you, the Lord?
And he said, in your tithes and offerings.
Mm.
In other words, Israel was bad. They'd say, I already got 10 lambs here, and God requires the best, but I don't want to give him the best of them. Surely he'll be satisfied with just one of these lambs, and they'll pick out the worst one they can find, the runt in the bunch, and say, okay, God, here you go. And God says, no, I don't want that one.
Yeah.
That shows how much you value me when you give me the runt.
Yeah, I have allowed you to have 10, and you're going to give me the one runt back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. We shortchange him. So I don't see how you can be a thief, and especially robbing God, and expect to be greeted in the portals of glory.
No, I really don't. You're stepping on some toes now,
I'm, well, you said earlier about, who was it we were talking about? Phil Robertson.
Yes.
And he said the wrong thing, got fired. So should I expect that here any moment?
Well, the church is paying for the program.
Amen. Amen.
But then other people kind of say, but now, Pastor?
Yeah.
That's Old Testament stuff there that you're talking about.
That's right. I'm glad you brought that up. Because Jesus brought that up in the what we call the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. And then if you go on over in the book of Hebrews, you'll find that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Now, why is it even mentioned? Well, in the Hebrew letter, he's saying that Abraham, who was an individual who loved God, served God, and paid tithes to God through Melchizedek. Melchizedek is an interesting character. He's without father, without mother, without beginning of days or end of life. Now, don't tell me that's not interesting.
Mm.
Who does he represent? He represents the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
King of Salem, it says.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Hebrew writer brings that over into the book of Hebrews because the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Mm. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. So we can take those Old Testament types and bring them over into the New Testament and use them. Not everything, of course. Not the ceremonial parts of the law. That's all been nailed to the cross.
Burnt offerings. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't do that. But the principles is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We need to rightly divide the word of truth. So when he talks about paying tithes in the Old Testament, robbing God and all that, Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, To the religious leaders of the day, said, you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin. Those are herbs.
Mm-hmm.
But you omit the weightier matters of the law, faith, justice, mercy. Then he says, these you ought to have done. Talking about faith, mercy, and love. Not to leave the other undone. The tithing of the mint and so forth. So I believe tithing is taught in the old and in the new. And a lot of folks don't believe that. Some don't believe it because they're honest about it. They don't believe the New Testament has anything to do with tithing, and they but others are just don't want to give.
And then there's the old adage, the fallback that, well, you're just another preacher wanting my money, you know. And
yeah,
but God don't need our money. That's not what He's looking for. To me, and help me if I'm wrong here. To me, tithing is about faith. For us, between the Lord and God, showing back His appreciation, if we're willing to give something that we value, and all of us value money, greed is in us, so to have to give up something back to somebody that has given so much to us, it's about faith.
It's about faith, and it's about trusting God.
It is.
To provide for you. So, can folks ask questions on the Facebook
thing? I guess so, yeah.
So there's Tootie, and there's, our little granddaughter, Amelia, calls her Cappy.
Cappy. Oh,
yeah.
Most time it's with an F.
Kathy Boland. Was it Cappy?
Well, sometimes. I mean, that's what my granddaughter says, Cappy.
All right. So if folks wanted to, if they wanted to ask a question, we'll take it, right, on Facebook.
Well, you're the one monitoring.
Well, all right. So,
and we've got about 10 and a half minutes left
on
the show. So.
Timotheus, we're having a... don't know the date just yet, and I think all the slots are taken. Concealed carry class at Highland sometime next month. I think we limited the class, I say we, the instructor limited it to 20 folks.
Mm-hmm.
And last count there was 17 or 18 and maybe some others that had indicated they were going to be added to the list, so I think it's probably already filled up. But we believe that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. And would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And so that's why we do that. We believe at Highland that we have a responsibility to protect the flock, and that's what we're trying to do.
So
and,
you're watching.
And of course we're watching.
There you go.
Watch and pray, you know, keep one eye open and watch, close the other eye when you pray. That's the, what that old song's about, dear. Did you know that?
Mm.
Watch and pray for the Lord is coming.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not really what it's about, but.
Sounds good.
It sounds good. So we're doing
keeping
that
me
next
on my
month.
Toes,
I'm trying my best to.
You are.
And I want to say a word about classical conversation. I asked Andrea, for those of you who don't know, is my daughter, youngest daughter, and the mother of Caroline, Annabelle, Amelia, and Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her about maybe coming to the station some Thursday. It's hard for her to schedule all that in. I just mentioned the names of those that she has a hard time scheduling.
Yeah, she's got four priorities right there.
Yeah. So she said she'd like to do that.
Mm.
And so she can explain it so much better than I can.
And this is about an educational program, not a musical educational
no.
program. The title kind of will throw you off a little bit.
It will. It will. But there is some singing.
Yeah, there is a little bit of singing.
If folks wanted to go online and look up the timeline, just go on YouTube, Classical Conversation Timeline. And you can find it, and it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing, and they're going to start out this fall maybe with, maybe 10 or 11 kids.
And this is for what grade?
These are homeschool now, any grade.
K through 12th grade?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it has to be, of course, a parent that can homeschool. Not everybody can homeschool.
Yeah.
But then this classical conversation community
mm-hmm.
would come together on a weekly basis, not sure what day or any of those details, but she could explain all that so much better than I could. But anyway, 7890318, and
let me throw in, we've got VBS coming up starting July 9th,
yes,
so that's just a few weeks away.
Yes, sir.
Yes, going to have a good time all week long, and you're still going to do the class like you always do?
Got questions?
You got answers.
We got answers.
There you go. So it's kind of like this show.
Kind of like.
For the adults.
Been doing it now for, 35.
You really want to go back that far?
35, 36 years. Questions and answers. Open forum.
So anybody of any age is welcome to come.
Sure.
And we'll feed you kids. And
sure.
Have a great time. That's July. It starts July 9th.
Yes, sir. I'll ask a question here now. A lot of folks are clicking on I see their names here. And I don't know the right words to use.
Uh-huh. They're commenting.
There's Kathy, our dear sister Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
Hayes on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm frozen. Looks like I'm
uh-oh.
Frozen there. Does that mean that we're not, people are typing in there?
I guess so. I don't know.
I don't know either.
You're getting past my knowledge.
But I know you, and I know you'll research it and find out. You will indeed.
We'll try to do something anyway.
So, Timotheus, you know, we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. We've been talking about the importance of having a heart that is devoted to God, and a heart that is devoted of God will bear several marks. I guess is a good way to say it. And so, this series we've been in, we've been talking about discipleship, and we're just about finished with it. We'll have one, maybe two, but certainly one more message on the subject. And last night we talked about contentment.
Mm. Yes.
Contentment is possible.
It's hard.
Yeah, of course it is. And so I asked the question last night, and I'll ask this of our listeners today and our viewers.
There we go.
Who may not have been there last night. Question, who is happier, a man with $11 million or a man with 11 children? Answer, the man with 11 children. Why? Because he doesn't want any more. So,
oh my.
Yeah. Yeah, so it seems like we have a problem with our water.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes.
That kind of ties back into the tithing
it does
thing
indeed.
We talked about.
Yeah, you're pretty perceptive there. I was going for that.
Oh, I jumped on it.
Oh, well, good. That's what we do here. Yeah, folks have said, well, you all have your show scripted out really nicely.
No.
We don't have a clue what we're doing. except we do know what the Bible says most of the time.
Well, they can watch us now and they know we're not,
sure.
We're not scripted.
Sure. So we said last night that that more, M-O-R-E,
yeah,
is more than just a four-letter word. More is the motivator of disharmony in every relationship that you can think about. More will divide you. Benjamin Franklin was once asked, who is he that is happiest? He who is content. And who is that? No one. That was his response. I got to tell you,
Ben,
I just did agree with Ben because contentment is nothing you're born with. Timotheus, you were born with your mom and dad. I'm not talking about your fleshly mom and dad. I'm talking about your parents in the Garden of Eden. You were born with their DNA.
Yep. Yep.
And you've had to learn how to be content.
Yeah.
And it's a lifetime project, let me tell you, brother.
It doesn't stop.
It does not stop.
This world is will pull us so many ways.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of things I'm dissatisfied with.
Well, I hope I'm not one of them.
You say, no, you're not, as a matter of fact. So you're one of the high points.
Oh. Ooh.
Forgive me, Lord. No, I'm kidding too much here now. Let's get serious. There's some things that it's all right to be dissatisfied with.
There's a difference between wanting to do better and wanting more.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. For instance, the Wright brothers thought we can do better than taking a horse, riding a horse or a horse carriage or taking a train. We can do better. That led to the airplane. Right over there at, where was it? Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. You ever been there?
No.
Yep, I was. Wasn't anybody there, but we were there.
No, okay.
We saw the plaque. But anyway, just an open field, basically. That's where they took the first flight.
Interesting.
Thomas Edison said there's got to be a better way to...
than a lamp.
Got to be a better way to go to the bathroom than lighting a candle. And so he invented, the light bulb and all that. So Nehemiah said, I'm dissatisfied with the ruins of Jerusalem. So I want to go back and build the wall. So there's some great things that people have done because of dissatisfaction. There's a difference. And you're right. There's a difference.
There's a difference in wanting to do better that would contribute to people around you.
Absolutely.
And just wanting more because of the greediness in you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what I take from it anyway.
And I think you take what's right. 789-0318.
I got a quick question for you.
Ollie Rowe, down there at Winchester, Kentucky. I bet he's up on
somebody. He's on a roof somewhere.
He's on a roof somewhere. I saw him singing in Spanish on here the other day.
I did too.
I didn't understand a word he said.
No, but he was having a good time.
He was having a good time.
Is it possible for a Christian to be too religious?
Too religious?
Yeah, I mean, I heard a pastor, and I don't know what to think about this, but I heard a pastor one time say that, you know, those guys that they've lost their keys. Well, I'm looking for the key to the kingdom. And everything that you talk about, you know, just hammer. Is it possible to do too much sometimes with
you
people?
You mean, is it possible to just be an irritant to people?
Yes.
Well, of course it is.
Yes.
Of course it is. There's a time and a place for everything. That's what the Bible says. Every season under heaven. And you can just be so foolish that no one takes you seriously.
So heavenly minded that you're no earthly good?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I heard that from a wise man.
No doubt he was.
That's going to do it for today on God's Point of View. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. You can come by. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning worship is at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. So please come and join us at the Highland Church of Christ. And again, we'd like to thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.